theme we have this year in our church, Make Disciples. It's a challenging theme. Every year I'm so blessed when I come back to be a part of the Mount of Byram Conference, and our theme for our conference this year is Now or Never. And if you put them together, you understand it's Now or Never, we're going to make disciples. And I don't know about you, but when I was a kid, someone would call you a name. And do you remember what you would say to them when they'd call you a name? It takes one to know one. We'd like to say that. They'd call you a name and you'd say, it takes one to know one. And as I thought about our conference, as I thought about our theme this year, Make Disciples, the first thing that came to my mind is it takes one to make one. I hope you understand that. That if we're going to make disciples, we must first ask the question of ourselves, am I a disciple of Jesus Christ? I must first become a sold out disciple of Christ before I can produce one, because we produce after our own kind. That's normal and natural. In most churches around the world, they're producing what I would call weekend warriors and not sold out disciples of Jesus Christ. But the Great Commission cannot be changed by men, because the commission was given by God. Now, if you would open your dictionaries and look at what Merriam-Webster says a weekend warrior is, she would say it's either a member of the military reserves who trains on the weekends for a few weeks every year, or a person who participates in an unusually physical, strenuous activity only on the weekends. I was introduced to a different dictionary. It's called the Urban Dictionary. I'd never read it before. And I looked up what this means. A weekend warrior, according to the Urban Dictionary, is someone who has a regular ho-hum job, but on the weekends they party it up by drinking and smoking and living irresponsibly on the weekends, and they call themselves weekend warriors. It's amazing how words change over time. We always knew that weekend warriors were someone in the reserves. But in our relationship to our spiritual life, what is a weekend warrior? Weekend warriors are what I would call professing, baptized believers who live just like the rest of the world all week long. But on the weekends, they go to church for at least 1 hour to remind themselves that there's a real war going on out there all around them. And even though they hear about the war, they do not attempt to engage the enemy and truly winning the battle by making disciples of Christ. That's what a weekend warrior is. It's a person who just goes to church. Jesus gave no room for anyone to sign up as a weekend warrior when he called for disciples. I want you to turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, and we're going to begin looking at verse 18. Every Christian can be a sold out disciple of Jesus Christ by taking up these three daily habits. I hope you heard me. Every Christian here today can become a sold out disciple of Jesus Christ by taking up these three daily habits. The title of my message this morning is No Weekend Warriors Welcome. That's what God says. God says no weekend warriors welcome. He will not be satisfied with that type of commitment. Let's stand to our feet as we read Luke chapter 9, beginning at verse 18. And it came to pass, as he was alone praying, his disciples were with him, and he asked them, saying, whom say the people that I am? And they answering said, John the Baptist, but some say Elias, and others say that one of the old prophets is risen again. He said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Peter answering said, the Christ of God. And he straightly charged them and commanded them to tell no man that thing, saying, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and be slain and raised the third day. And he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same the same shall save it. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we open your word this morning, we want to be blessed by the teaching of Jesus Christ about what it means to be a disciple, so that we would be challenged in becoming a disciple that might make disciples for Jesus Christ. Please guide in this service, get honor and glory from your powerful word. It's in Christ's name that I pray. Amen. You may be seated. I told you that I wanted you to take up three daily habits. And I want us to look first and foremost at verse 23 to see the first habit that is required of a disciple. It says in verse 23, "And he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up what?" How often? It's very interesting that he makes a statement about a daily activity. Because when I told you no weekend warriors, that means you can't be a disciple of Jesus Christ only on the weekends and then live differently throughout the week. You see, Christ said, if you're going to be my disciple, it'll be a daily taking up of your cross. And we want to look at, what does this mean? As we look at the verse, the first thing it says we have to do is deny yourself. And this speaks of denying our dreams, our plans, our goals, our desires, because we know that we are the disciple of Christ. And so there's a process of being a disciple where I say I must deny myself the very thing that I desire, because I've been called to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And he says that's demanded of those that will come after me. And one that will come after me is that disciple. So if someone says, I will be a disciple of Christ, first step is to deny yourself. Then he says you must take up your cross on a daily basis. This is the daily necessity to willingly live for Christ, for his kingdom and his purpose. I've heard many messages in my lifetime of what it means to take up your cross. And I've heard ladies say that their husband is their cross to bear. I've heard some people with a sickness say that their sickness is their cross to bear. But I would ask you to think about our Jesus and what he did with his cross. Do you see, the day he came into our world, he came and was wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger, and that was a sign that he was headed for the cross. He was wrapped as a sacrificial lamb would be wrapped and laid in the manger in preparation that he would one day go to the temple to be the Lamb of God that would take away the sins of the world. The whole life of Jesus Christ was pointed towards the cross. Everything he did, every single day, he was sent with a mission from his Father. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And when he conquered death for us, he said to us, as the Father sent me to go to the cross, even so send I you. And you see, I might never die on a cross outside of Jerusalem on a hill called Calvary. But what is required of me as a disciple is that I will learn to deny myself and daily surrender my life to his plan. Daily say to him, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. Lord, I need to surrender my life to you, and I need to become a living sacrifice. And taking up my cross might not be some ugly thing where my hands will be nailed and blood will ooze out. It is a daily loving and serving God with my face set to the task. We've been told to make disciples. Do you know that as you make disciples, you're actually taking up your cross? It is when you abandon the discipleship program, it's when you're not making disciples that you've put your cross down. Because now you've taken up another responsibility other than the command given to you by our Savior when he left. Our cross is to make disciples. Whatever it will cost us, we must be willing to bear it, because it's not an option. You could make disciples if you like. Jesus Christ came to make disciples, and he was the professional disciple maker. We can learn a lot from Christ when we say we want to make a disciple for him if we just mimic what he did. And the first step in becoming a disciple of Jesus Christ is to take up the daily habit of taking up your cross and saying, I'm here not to become successful or comfortable. I'm here to make disciples. Have I done anything today to make a disciple of Jesus Christ. If not, you've literally woken up and you told the Lord, Lord, today I'm not really in the cross-bearing business. Today I have more important things to do than to carry the cross for you. I know that you sent me on a mission to make disciples, but I have a different plan for my day today, so I will not pick up my cross. And we abandon the very thing he's put us here to do. Literally, when he says, take up my cross, it's a willingness to give your life that others might come to know Christ, and those that you lead to Christ would be drawn closer to Christ so they become mature enough that they might also reproduce and make disciples. And that's the goal of the discipleship program. And he says in this verse, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. That last statement, follow me, is this idea of taking your stand with Christ. Taking your stand with Christ. Where Christ stands, that's where I stand. And you know what? It won't be convenient. It won't be easy. You'll be in the storm, but you'll be with Christ. And that's what he requires of a disciple. So the first habit I want to beg you to consider today is to be a daily sacrifice. Have you ever seen a warrior who would decide, I'm not going to go to war today. I'll disobey my commander-in-chief. I'll go AWOL. You are no longer worthy to be called a soldier. You are a defector, or you have gone from your duties, and you will get a dishonorable discharge because you are not doing the thing that your commander has asked you to do. So the first habit we must take in our life is, Lord, I want to make a daily sacrifice of my life, remembering that as Christ came to face the cross, my assignment is to make disciples. And you know what? Your assignment to make a disciple will be in a different place to a different people than me. My assignment is Ghana, West Africa. And if I decide I love my father or mother, my sister or brother, my son or daughter more than him, I won't go and do my assignment because I'll stay back with the one that I love and it'll disqualify me from being his disciple. I will not be worthy of the title that he gives. And so he tells us, if in this life you try to save your life, save it so that it's yours, you're going to end up doing what? Losing it. But if for love for him you're willing to lose your life, you'll actually what? You'll actually save it. And this is the opposite of what the world will tell you. Yeah, you're crazy to go and live in Africa. You could die of malaria. Yes, I could try to save this life, but in doing that, I'll end up losing it. It's in trusting him and obeying him and becoming his disciple that I actually really start living. And my life has power and purpose because I'm making disciples that will outlive me and preach Christ until he comes. And if I love my life and withhold my life from him, I will waste my life. I can end up losing my children and my grandchildren. But it's through the faithfulness of giving my life to him that I might see my son follow in my footsteps, because the fire of our devotion will lead them to the cross. But when you back up, you'll see your son back up and your grandson back up and your lineage will back up because you backed up as a disciple of Christ. The second habit that we need to take up is found in verse 18. As you look at verse 18, and it says, it came to pass as he was what? He was alone praying. I want you to notice that the disciples noticed Jesus' dependence on his father. They would wake up and they would wonder, where is Jesus? And they would find him alone praying. It's not the first time this happened, that Jesus was alone praying. Turn in your Bibles just two pages to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. And we see in Luke chapter 11 verse 1, it says, and it came to pass that as he was what? Praying. Now, when they saw him praying this time they got bold enough to say, Jesus, teach us to pray. And he did. But I want you to notice something he taught them in verse 3. In verse 3 it says, give us what? Day by day what? Yes. Most of us like to stockpile and store and save and have everything secure for many years. And we say, you're a very wise person because you have much treasure laid up for many years. But what did Jesus tell you to be? Dependent on God day by day. I've seen Africans have a huge harvest, pile everything in a storage bin and think I'm all set, and then a bug will get in and destroy the food. A rat will get in and destroy the food. And all that you've stored up, all that you've piled up is lost because of an insect or an animal that has come in to destroy. Just because we have something piled up doesn't mean we're going to enjoy it. You still need to pray, God, I need from you my daily bread. And that is a dependence upon him every single day. He never wants you to face a day where you say, you know what? I'm all set. My cupboards are full. I have everything I need. Because one sickness can take you to your knees. And you will see that you have food to eat, but you don't have a stomach to put it in because your stomach is throwing everything out. And you see, you need him day by day, not just to give you your daily bread, but to have a body that can consume the daily bread that he gives you in the right season at the right time. And we see that the second daily habit we need to take up is daily dependence. Daily dependence. And they work in this fashion. First, you have a daily sacrifice. And when you give your life and say, Lord, today I'm willing to lay on the cross. I'm willing to give my life to you. It puts you in a position where there's no other way you're going to face the assignment than daily dependence. Because Satan wants to make you afraid. What are you going to do tomorrow? What are you going to do when you get old? What are you going to do if? What are you going to do if? And Satan is always using fear factors to control people. And God says, don't allow him to make you afraid. Be dependent upon me and you'll stand firm on the faith that you have. No matter what Satan throws at you, God says, come back to me and find everything you need in me. And here he's teaching his disciples daily dependence. Turn over to Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. Matthew 6, 24. Because Jesus spells it out plainly for his disciples in Matthew 6, 24. When you're not dependent upon him, you're dependent upon yourself. And there a war starts to ensue between you and God. Listen to what he says in verse 24. No man can serve two masters. No man can serve two masters. For he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Do you see the problem? Once you've made the sacrifice, what do you have to do? Once you told God, I'm going to serve you, I'm going to give my life, I'm going to daily take up my cross, you have to learn how to depend upon him because you can't serve two masters. You can't tell God, I'm going to serve you and then be worried all the time about your finances, worried all the time about everything because he's the God of your finances and he says he wants to take care of you. He goes on in verse 25 and says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought of your what? What ye shall eat, what ye shall drink, nor yet for the body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Listen to what he's going to ask us now. Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Now listen to the question. Are ye not much better than they? This is a question that should set you back on your heels. If the God of heaven is concerned with birds, is he not much more concerned about me? A sold out disciple of Jesus Christ. One who says, I will take up my cross and follow him and take my stand with him. Have you seen many birds do that? The birds just sing song, make noises, reproduce, and they bring some praise to God in all of their different bird languages, right? But you are the one who can communicate the gospel of Jesus Christ. You are the one who can tell someone how they might be saved. A bird has never done that. Pastor, I don't know about you. I haven't seen a bird witness. And if he cares about a bird, how much more the one who represents him to carry his good news that takes up the cross and follows him. And so the question is, are ye not much better than they? And I think about this question and we ask, do you know you are far more valuable to God than the birds are? And so if he's able to take care of them, why are you worried about yourself? And so if we're going to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, the first habit we must take up is I'm going to die daily. I'm going to lay on the sacrifice. I'm going to take up my cross and follow him. Secondly, I have to develop the habit of dependence upon him. I have to stop worrying about tomorrow. I have to stop being overly concerned about how we're going to make it. And I have to say, I'm going to pray to him for my daily bread. He'll provide my needs for me because I'm his servant and he cares for me. And this is the mandate that he's given. The third habit that we need to take up is found over in Luke chapter 19. Keep turning in the book of Luke. Luke chapter 19. In Luke chapter 19, we see this simple phrase in verse 47. Because we're looking at Jesus as the master discipleship maker. And he taught, what does it say? And he taught daily in the temple. But the chief priests and the scribes and the chiefs of the people sought to destroy him. Now I told you he's the master discipleship maker. And so far we've noticed from him that every day of his life he set his face like a flint to the cross. Every day of Christ's life he was taking up his cross. He was headed towards Jerusalem. Nothing was hidden from him. He knew what he was going to face. He told them he would be handed over to the religious leaders, and they would hand him over to the Romans, and they'd crucify him. And he knew he was headed to the cross, and he never flinched from it. He never turned back. And as he met in the upper room with the disciples, he said with epithumia, I have desired to have this time with you. With passion, with desire, I've looked forward to this day, this Last Supper, when I would prepare to go to the cross. He was not afraid of it in the sense that he was afraid to go to it. It was the purpose for which he came, and he was embracing the thing for which his Father sent him. And that was the daily habit he had, and his disciples saw that. Secondly, they looked upon him and they saw his daily dependence in prayer, that he was always going to his Father. And because of Christ's daily dependence, the disciple asked, "Teach us to pray." Then the last thing we see is that he was daily in the temple. And I call this daily growth. Daily growth. Listen, if you have a daily sacrifice and a daily dependence on God, you're going to see daily growth. And I want you to see why there was daily growth. You know, Luke is also the one who wrote the book of Acts. Go with me to the book of Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, because he carries on with his writings as we go into the book of Luke. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 41, we begin reading. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued how? Steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in the breaking of bread and prayers. Now jump down to verse 46. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking of bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Most Christians believe that a once a week trip to the church house is sufficient. But physically, we like to eat three times daily. If we're going to stay strong spiritually, we're going to have to increase our desire to eat a little more often. Do you understand me? Some people, the 1 hour, Sunday morning, 11 to 12, you get fed up for the week, and the rest of the week you fast, and there's no daily growth in your life. It's not the only place you can grow is here in church. We need to develop a lifestyle, a relationship with God. We're in his word daily. And that's what these disciples were doing. Jesus was daily in the temple. Jesus was daily with his disciples. We want to make disciples on Sunday morning during Sunday school, and you can't do it. You'll never make a disciple on a once-a-week program. It's not possible, because the discipleship is a rub of your life. And you can't rub your life once a week and think anything will rub off. We got to get sticky. So when you rub, you stick. And that's what Christ did with his disciples. You see, he had a daily exposure to them. You go on and you read in verse 47 the wonderful results. The wonderful results of this time that they spent together. It says, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church what? Daily, such as should be saved. Do you know who wins souls for Jesus Christ? Disciples that have sacrificed themselves to discipleship making, that have a dependency on Christ daily, and are daily growing in grace. And when you develop these three habits, the outcome of these habits is daily you get to see people saved, and the Lord adds to the church. Why is he adding to the church? Because he has a real disciple who's out there making disciples. And we'll never plant churches and get men trained if we think that in a once-a-week program we're going to get it done. If we're going to be disciples, it's going to be a daily habit of our life where we say, I'm going to give myself to this great habit. I want to close by turning with you back to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 37. I want you to hear what Jesus said. This is the climax of what we would call discipleship. He that loveth father or mother more than me is what? Is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is what? Not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Have you ever asked, am I worthy? Am I worthy? The idea here is not that you deserve to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. It literally means you're living up to your title. That's what it means. If you've been given a title like you're a child of God, you need to act like a child of God so you're worthy of that title. If you're any title given to you, whether it's a deacon or a pastor or the treasurer, if you're the treasurer and you don't count the money, you're not worthy of your title. Do you see what I'm saying? And so if you say, I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ, and you're not willing to take up your cross, the Bible says you're not worthy of that title. You're not a disciple. So please listen. Not every believer is a disciple. But every disciple is a believer. I hope you get it. Not every believer is living up to the title of disciple. They're not living disciples of Christ. They're refusing to take up their cross. They're refusing to live a life of dependence. And they're refusing to trust God. And so they're holding back. And this is the tragedy. We're not worthy of the title. And so I challenge you this morning. If we will look at our theme, make disciples, our first question at the beginning of the year is, it takes one to make one. And if you will dedicate the beginning of this year to saying, I want to be a sold out disciple of Jesus Christ, I will promise you on the authority of the Word of God that this year you will make disciples. Don't concentrate on making the disciple. Concentrate on being a sold out disciple, because sold out disciples will disciple. That's what you naturally do. But you have to get to the point where you daily take up the cross, where you daily are dependent on Christ, and you daily, daily want to grow in your faith and love for Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We're challenged by the greatest disciple maker there ever was, our Savior, Jesus Christ. We look at him in the way he went and called these fishermen and he said, follow me. And he asked them to leave those boats and follow him. And they sacrificed and they followed him. Then day by day, he taught them dependence as they trusted in him to take care of their needs. And then every day he taught them, and they became stronger and stronger, so that when he left, these men turned the world upside down, because Jesus had made 12 strong disciples. And so, Father, I pray that in our church this year, each one of us would have a desire to take up three habits that would make us powerful disciples of Jesus Christ. It's in Jesus' name I pray.